And I want to thank you for listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. In the next hour, you're going to hear episode 2 of Gideon's Armory. You can contact me by writing to jason at sfaw.org. And remember to visit us online by going to scripturesforamerica.org. And good evening, folks, and welcome back to Gideon's Armory, episode 2. Sure hope you took the time to listen to episode 1. And here we are back with another episode. And this episode is episode 2, but its title is Putting His Name on It. And we've got Tim on the line. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening.
And we've got Josh on the line. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening.
Thank you, men, for being here tonight. The putting his name on it, it came from basically a scripture that's found in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, but it's the men that we've got on the radio tonight are come from different walks of life and different professions. And one of the things that we have been taught and have learned and strive to do is to do everything that we do under the Lord as our master. And when we, whether it's building a house or framing a wall or rebuilding a carburetor or dressing on an electrical panel, it is something we want to do a good job at what we do. And we put we try to do everything that we do, we try to do it right, we try to do it the best of our ability. We want our Heavenly Father proud of the work that we do. And there's a lot of people that, you know, don't share that characteristic, and I think it's a characteristic that is really missing from society. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. I'll turn it over to you, Josh.
And so just like what you're saying, and it is a saying that we say, when you do something, you put your name on it. Because whoever comes behind you and looks at that, they're going to say, oh, well, Josh did that. And there's a standard of quality that's associated with your work. And so I always want it to be something that I can be proud of, not something that I got to duck and hide from.
Yeah, not and be ashamed of it.
Right. And it's funny because over the years, thankfully, my work has gotten better. And, it's funny, but finishing up a barbecue pit right now that I started, 20, 25 years ago. And, man, there's not much square and level, and it was a stainless barbecue pit. So it was the first stainless I ever welded. It didn't look real great. It was just been kind of laughing and enjoying trying to finish it and get it going. But yeah, where you're at reflects the quality of your work and what have you. So, but whenever we put on that, there are many different names that we have. So Josh is one of mine, but it's also dad and husband, and the main one we're reflecting on tonight is Christian. And whenever we put on that title as a Christian, that raises the bar to the highest level of the representation, because we are representing Christ in everything that we do. And so the world is looking at us, and they're measuring Christians by what Josh does. And that's a lot of weight to carry. So we just need to make sure, and we try to make sure that everything we do is to the highest standard that we're capable of. Because if you need to work to the eighth of an inch, but if you try to work to the 16th and you miss the mark, you're still within tolerance. But if you need to work to an eighth of an inch and you try to work to an eighth of an inch and you miss the mark, you didn't make it. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely.
And so whenever we put his name on it, that is an even higher calling than if it's something we're just putting our name on it. We need to make sure that we get it right. And if we mess it up, thankfully, we got a chance through repentance, that we can ask for forgiveness and get a redo and go back and make it right. Sometimes you got to humble yourself to go back to that redo and say, hey, look, I apologize. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said this, or I shouldn't have acted that way. But God is merciful, and He's righteous, and He forgives us. And sometimes I think, for sure, way more than I deserve. But your thoughts on that, Tim?
Well, I certainly agree with you, and I think that a lot of times I'm always reminded of the sacrifices in the Old Testament, in the Bible, when they brought the best of their produce, the best of their livestock. That was the sacrifice that they offered. And when you're working for God, that's a sacrifice. I mean, and you may get paid for it or whatever, but doing your best is always a sacrifice, because there's always... It's painstaking. It's attempting to. You're just trying your best, you know, to always get it right. And I'm always reminded of. I think another verse that goes with this, Colossians 3:23 that we're talking about, is Philippians 4:13, and Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." So, and you know, there's days that. I claim that verse. I mean, I'm struggling. I'm doing the best I can do, and I'm struggling. It's not going as good as I would like or something, and I stop, and I pray that verse. You know, I mean, Lord, I can do all things. That's what you told me. I can do all things if you strengthen. So strengthen me, Lord, and help me not to struggle with this. Help me to overcome it. And He answers. He keeps His promises. So it's as much a, but it's a real culmination of physical, mental, and spiritual. When you're working for the man, capital M, it requires all those things to be in an alignment. You know, have you ever worked when you're trying to do your best when you're super upset at home, or when your body is sick, or you know, there's an out of balance, or it makes it a lot more difficult to accomplish it. So that balance issue is an important issue. You know, try to stay on the ball and stay balanced.
Yeah. And so, as a side note, we promised you all some experience and life lessons, a little nugget that I will offer. It's better not to weaponize that Philippians 4:13 against your wife whenever she's saying, "Oh, I just can't do such and such." And I've done that in the past. You know, well, I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me sometimes. You know, that's not a real good, a good play. So, but you're right, you know, we got to take that and shine that light on ourselves. Whenever we're, you know, a dumpster fire and think everything's going wrong, those words are written for us, and we can do it. And there's so much power in words, and I know we'll make it there, one of these programs. But there's so much power in words, and we should not speak negatively to ourselves. We shouldn't say that we can't do or that we're not good, or because if you can't count on yourself to tell you the truth, who can you? You know, and so we believe ourselves whenever we tell ourselves we can't do something. Normally, you can't do it. And on the other side of that, if you believe you can do something, you're going to put all your heart and effort into it. And most of the time, you're going to be able to. Now, sometimes you're going to have to put in some extra work and training. And that's one thing that you're not going to very often God tell you that it's easy, because normally His work is that it is work, and you got to build up that stamina and strength and experience to be able to accomplish things.
Well, we all learn to do things better with experience, right? So we're back to the experience issue again. I mean, you know, I've built I've built things too, and you know, you have them, and later you go back and look at them compared to what you do today, say 30 years later, And you're like, well, that looks kind of clubby. And I keep it because it's a reminder to me of how far God has brought me. That was the best I could do 30 years ago. I mean, that was as good as it got. Today, it's leaps and bounds above that. But that's, you know, it's a reminder of what God has done for you, you know. So,
and it gives me the hope of, okay, what 30 years from now, I'm going to be even better. You know, what has God got in store for me then? And we should never.
He's not done with you. Yeah,
that's right. We should never give up that that light. And we should always be trying to get better every single day. Because just what you said, if you're here right now, breathing in, breathing out, God's not done with you. You still got work to do. You're here for a reason, and we need to be praying and seeking His will to find out exactly what our reasons are.
Amen. I know that, you know, it's one of the things that I've looked back and things that I've done too. And sometimes I go back and it's like, you know, okay, well, I had a lot of learning to do. And then there's other times where it's like, how did I do that with the limited amount of knowledge that I had on that at that point in time? And it's obvious that I must have prayed before I started that project because I really don't think I could have done that by myself. And, you know, just recently I took on a project and was terminating some copper wires with some RJ11's phone jacks. And I hadn't done that in years and years and years. And I was struggling with it. And I thought, okay, well, you know, my RJ45s, they're old and I need some new ones. And then I thought, okay, my crimp tool's old and I need some new ones. And then I got back and it's like, and I started going back, and some of the stuff that I did that I had done 15 years ago, some of it was good, some of it was horrible. And then I decided, you know, it's like, I really didn't know what I was doing when I took that project on and decided to learn how the proper way to do it. And I was able to go through, you know, reading, watching some videos. I got on YouTube and looked at some different videos and some different techniques. And I'd been doing it all wrong the whole time. And I never had the training and never, you know, I made it work, but didn't know what I was doing. And, you know, it had to have been an answer to prayer for it to even work. But it had been working for quite some time, and was able to go back and correct it. And it was just amazing, you know, how you apply a little bit of knowledge and take some teaching and learn how much better you can be at doing something. And one of the things that I've learned is there's it's very hard to find people that are teachable. And the reason that they're not teachable is because they're not humble. When you try to teach somebody and you start talking, oh, I know, I got this, I understand, I know what I'm doing, you can't teach them nothing. And I don't want to be that person. And I've made up my mind a long time ago, I don't want to be that person. I want to be able to learn from people, on anybody that can do anything better than I can. I want to be able to learn from them, you know, whether it's welding. I mean, I'm not the greatest welder. I've got a nice welding rig, but I am not, and I wouldn't even say I'm good at some of it, but I know somebody that is right down the road that is fantastic at welding. And this guy can TIG weld, he can stick weld, he can MIG weld, and he's the guy that I want to learn from. And when I need a welding lesson, he's the guy that comes over, and he's showing me technique, and he's showing me how to dial in my machine. He's showing me, you know, all of the things and how to do it right. And that's the guy that I want to learn from. And, you know, there's the other people that are out there that are telling me the same thing. It's like, oh, you don't need that. Just get out there and just practice. Just burn some rod and you'll get it figured out. There's a lot more that goes into that than just getting out there and burning some rod. There is, yeah, there's technique, there's knowledge, there's experience, there's, I mean, you name it. What kind of gas you're using, what kind of wire you're using, what kind of welding rod you're using, where you have your amperage set at, what you've got this setting at and that setting. I mean, it's you can go on and on and on and on, but I'd rather learn from somebody that is experienced in that, and I want to be that teachable person that I can actually absorb some of that information from. Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely. And so one of the things that learned from other folks and teachings, many, many times, I can't say every day, but many, many times I pray that God would help me to be humble and not have to be humbled, because those are two very different things.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Amazingly different. Yeah. One's quite painful. Yeah. There's, well, and I can remember that was one of the things that my dad always told me whenever you were learning something new is find the guy, ask around, who's the best at this out here? Who does the best job? That's the guy you want to go learn from if you can. You know, that try to get him to teach you, because you're going to learn faster. You're going to learn the right way so you don't have to unlearn things. And, you know, and usually it's been my experience that most of those guys who are really good at their job also seem to have really good attitude. You know what I mean? They like what they're doing. They're good at what they're doing. They can be kind of hard to get along with because they're very particular about how things are done. But once you, you know, if you can get them to take you under their proverbial wing and teach you, it really speeds your process up. So that's a big help.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think that that's important. And I mean, and learning and being able to teach. I mean, the better that I can learn and the better student that I am, the better teacher that I can be. And I think that that's one of the things that we've been talking about. And we talk about it in episode one with steel sharpening steel. You know, as we can recognize that we've got a lot to learn, people can learn from some of the things that we have been allowed to or privileged to learn through our experiences.
And, you know, we have been talking about this topic. We've been putting his name on it, and we've been talking about, you know, our physical work, what we do with our hands, our labor. But it is also very applicable to relationships and being the better father and better husband. And, you know, because everybody's watching with that as well and seeing how we're behaving. And are you merciful, or are you a hellraiser? Or, you know, because whenever, I mean, we are, as Christians, to be a peculiar people. So we are different than most, or we're supposed to be. And I know myself, through my experience, I have learned so much from my children.
Yes.
And I've learned how to be a better son to our father through my children. And an example, a lot of times they will have done something wrong and I will be correcting them. And as I am speaking the words of correction to them, I hear him saying them to me, and it's like I look up and got you, boss, you know, because it's exactly what I needed to hear. But yet he put me in a situation where I'm saying it to my children so that I can hear him saying it to me, so that I can measure up and I can get my stuff together and be right where I need to be. And once again, being teachable and listening to hear. And then whenever you hear it, being willing to make that correction and to admit that you're wrong and that there is a better way, not just your way, and make that change.
You know, Josh, you sure hit the nail on the head with that one with me, too. It happens time and time again. There's something that either talking with my wife, and I will say something to her, and it's just like, poo, slap across the face from the Heavenly Father.
And it's exactly what I needed to hear. Or dealing with my children, same deal. You know, are you not listening to me? Didn't I tell you this over and over again? And don't you know what the consequences are for this? And, you know, whatever the situation is. And it's just like, boom. It's humbling. It hits you and it's like, okay, yep, I need to listen up. But it shows you, you know, and then, you know, thankfully we can repent. But I am sure glad for those experiences because it gets you back on track a lot of times.
Well, and I'm Josh's comment about weaponizing scripture was really kind of made me think of something as far as the fact that, you know, when you're in your physical work, if you don't like a project you're working on and you don't think it's coming out right, I've been known to knock it clear apart and start over. You know what I mean? It's like, nah, that's just not working, you know. And I know you guys are the same way, but it's a little harder in your relationship status. you really want to put the time in to try to get it right the first time, you know, because there's a lot more, yeah, that other part of the project kind of talks back, you know, or has, I mean, so it's worth a little extra planning and a little extra everything else to try to get that right.
Well, and getting back to, you know, putting his name on it, it's we want to do, sometimes it's not the easy way. When you're doing a job, you don't want to take the easy way all the time. Sometimes there's an easy, good way to do something. Sometimes there's a way that takes a little bit longer. It might cost you a little bit more, but, you know, do it right. I remember years ago, we didn't need an electrical inspection, but we got one anyway, and we had a good friend of the family that came over and helped us wire our first furniture shop when we were building handmade log furniture. He came out and spent a week out there and helped us, and the building inspector came out, and after looking at all of the work, he said, well, if people did work like this, I'd be out of business, and I wouldn't have a job. He said, this is amazing. And, you know, the person that came out and helped us with the job was, you know, they had a love for what they did, and it was art to them, and they wanted it to look good. They wanted it to be done right. They wanted it to be done overkill. And, you know, just, you know, recently been working on some fences and building some fences, and that's what I wanted to do. And I was building this fence, and it's like, okay, yeah, I can do it this way, or I can do it this way. And I built this fence, and I built it, I would say, way overkill. I call it German ingenuity, but it was, you know, instead of just some fence posts, we were using power poles, and instead of four strands of barbed wire, we were running five and more stretch points in, and it was, you know, instead of building a fence that, you know, normally people build a fence and they want it to be there for 20 or 30 years, and I want this fence to be there for 50 years, and that's the way I engineered it. And, you know, when I look at it, it's like, you know what, yep, I'm glad I was the guy that put that together. And that's, we need to have that mentality, no matter what we're doing in life. And when you go to work for, you know, an employer, I see a lot of people with the attitude, well, you know, I just got to go and I'm going to go there and I'm going to put in my time. That's a bad attitude. You don't want to have that attitude. You want to go in there and you want to be a blessing to your employer. You want to be a blessing to the company that you work for. And, you know, well, they're not paying me enough, or they're not doing this, or they're not doing that. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be whining about those things. We're supposed to be doing, if we're taking their money, we need to be giving them a good day's work. And people need to recognize that. And that's one of the things that is not very common in the world today.
And it doesn't matter what you are doing. A lot of folks get hung up on titles and positions and what have you. And we should always strive to grow and to be better. But I'm very thankful that there is somebody that cleans the restrooms, and that there's a guy that runs the garbage truck, and that, you know, everything needs to be done.
Yes.
And none of us should be too good to do anything. And different people have different passions. I know what you're talking about, Jason, the artwork. And it's not just like, I love to sit there and watch an operator run a piece of equipment that just knows how to operate. And it's just a beautiful thing, you know, whenever they're being smooth and easy on the equipment and getting a lot of work done. I mean, I could just sit there and watch them. And anybody that's good at their craft, I respect that.
I do too.
Enjoy that. And I try to brag on folks. I mean, it doesn't cost you anything to give somebody a compliment. If you see somebody that's doing something well, you know, point it out and brag on them and let them know that you appreciate what they're doing, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, no matter what position you're in, God puts you in that position, you know. So there's a reason that you're to be there. So do it to the best of your ability. Act like, and it doesn't matter. That doesn't matter whether that's your marriage or whether that's your church life or your friends or your work or whatever you do. God puts you there because you wouldn't be there otherwise. So, you know, if you're in that position, then God needs to be glorified in that position. Put his name on it, you know, on that job, whatever it is. It doesn't matter.
Amen. And we are just about out of time, but one of the things that I want to close with, and I want to challenge people that are out there that are listening to this, pick an area in your life, because each and every one of us can find something that in our life that we could improve on, and do it like we're doing to the Lord. Like the scripture that we just read in Colossians 3:23, put his name on it. Do it like we're doing it for our Heavenly Father. And I challenge you to pick an area in your life, something that you do, whether it's something in your house, your vehicle, something you do at work, but try to better yourself. Great things can start with changing one thing in your life. And I want to thank you gentlemen for being here tonight. Good evening, Tim. Good evening, Josh.
Good evening, sir.
How the tears of joy shall flow, and our smiles will beam and glow, when those bad old foes we fought for years finally fall. Last blow. So don't give up on hope too soon, girl, before this day arrives. Just heave a sigh and try to dry all these teardrops from your eyes. 'Cause there's still time for me and you. There's still love to see us through. There's still miles of road we've yet travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose, girl, to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. 'Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No!